today on Living on Every Word.
Faithfulness is a word that means to be trusted, to be reliable, to be believed, and to be believable. When I think about faithfulness, what are the descriptions that Paul uses, and I'm just calling them markers? What are those markers? What is it that identifies faithfulness?
When we think of being faithful, it's usually in terms of our marital fidelity. Certainly, trust is essential to every successful relationship, and so it is in our relationship with God. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses what it takes to be faithful in this sermon called Markers of the Faithful.
Living on every word.
Now I'd like for you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You know, I think back over my life of just growing up in church and the faithfulness of God in my life. The faithfulness of God to bring men and women into my life, and beginning with my parents and beginning with a grandparent, into my life to speak the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness. And I look back over my own life, and then I look over the past 20-something years here at Cottonwood, and I look across this congregation, and I see faithful people. I'm a product of that, and so are so many of you. You can think of Sunday school teachers, youth pastors, pastors. I can think of men and women who've spoken to my life, and they are faithful today, and I look over their lives, even to this day, contact with them, and knowing them still, and knowing that for all these years, since 8 and 10 years old, 40-something years ago, they're still walking after God. They're still speaking into lives. Faithful to God, faithful to the church, faithful to children, to youth, to adults. I think of the faithfulness of our staff who year after year after year speak into our lives, to one another's lives. And you know, when I look at this book, I look at this book to the Colossian church, Paul says something very, very similar to what I'm thinking about in these days as how faithful we are to be unto our God. He describes this church as saints, which is literally holy ones set apart for the good news of Christ Jesus, set apart for God Himself. But then he says something very specific. He says this in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Faithful. He's talking to a faithful church in the midst of a corrupt world. And when he talks about this church, he's going to say, listen, this is what I've heard from you. Because, you know, Paul never made it to Colossae. He's not the one who started this church. He's not the one who planted this church on his missionary journeys. No, it was a young man named Epaphras. This young man who planted this church from this hometown and taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul says, oh, you are the faithful, the saints, the holy ones, the set apart, the faithful brethren in Christ Jesus who are at Colossae. And this is what he says. We give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why? Because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is also constantly bearing fruit and it's increasing even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, watch, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And you know what else he told us about? He told us about your love in the Spirit. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a word out of the Greek language that means to trust, to rely, and faithfulness means to be trusted, to be reliable, to be believed, and to be believable. It's when you walk in this life, God would describe you as this fruit of the Spirit that comes forth because of your relationship with Christ and because of this Spirit of God that's living and dwelling in your life. Faithful. It simply means that, listen, that you are committed to the things of God, committed to the things of Christ, you're committed to His church, and you love His church. I don't know, we live in a day where people are not loving the church anymore. Yeah, folks who've been hurt or who have been burned, and sometimes they walk away from that church or that, what they want to call that religion over there. But yet these folks were faithful in the midst of persecution, in the midst of church trouble and struggle. Oh, there's heresies being spoken of in this region as he writes this letter. But yet these men are, and women are remaining faithful in God. And when, to me, what faithfulness means is that you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back and you do the things God's asked you to do, and you do it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and if God permits, decade after decade. Put my hand to the plow to be a faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful dad, a faithful mom, a faithful grandparent, a faithful man and woman in the church with the gifts that God's given, and we put our hand to the plow and we don't look back. Faithful. When I think about this faithfulness, what are the descriptions that Paul uses? And I'm just calling them markers. A marker is something that serves to identify, predict, or characterize. And the question that I'm asking today in my own life, what markers serve to identify a faithful people or a faithful leader or a faithful Sunday school teacher or a faithful worker in the ministry of God? What are those markers? What is it that identifies faithfulness? And I think what he identifies, three things here, is he identifies this faith in Christ, this love for the saints, and this hope. And you see Paul talking about this to the Thessalonians. He talks about, hey, I see your labor of love. I see this faith that you're walking in. I see this hope that you have. He even tells the Corinthians, listen, now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, right? Those are very familiar passages of Scripture. And yet we see it laced through the Bible, through the New Testament, of what faithfulness looks like. And I see a few things here. I see, first of all, faith in Christ. Well, you see, that sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? It is. There is a simplicity about the gospel. Is that right? Is the gospel simple? That's what Paul says it is. But it's not easy, right? It can be hard some days. Matter of fact, he's going to tell them, listen, I've seen your love, I've seen your hope, and you know why I know it's there? It's because Epaphras spoke to you the gospel, and the gospel came to you in all of its power, and you submitted to the gospel of Christ. And this gospel, he says, this gospel, you heard this word of truth, it came to you in verse 6, and it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as has been in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. In other words, when you embrace the gospel, your life is forever changed. What does this gospel look like? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talks to the Corinthians about the gospel. The word gospel comes from the word good news, and that's what evangelize means. It means to present or to proclaim the good news, and this good news being the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see what he says to the Corinthians. He says, verse 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but he sent me to proclaim the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Now, I'm going to use the word proclaim, because when I use the word preach, probably most of you would say, oh, that's just for preachers, vocational ministers and pastors. Or for the evangelist or the missionary out there, for the paid staff person. Now, let me tell you this. You are to proclaim Christ Jesus. We are all preachers. We are all proclaimers of this gospel. Every single one of us are to proclaim this word. And when you look at this word gospel, he says the word, he calls it the word of the cross. And the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, the gospel, the word of the cross, is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I'll set aside. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, but God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs. Greeks, they want wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified to Jews or to the religious, a stumbling block into the world. Well, that's just foolish. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. What does he say about this gospel? Well, he says, first of all, it's the word of the cross. Second, he says, it's Christ crucified. You remember Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, right? Well, this is a crucified life. It's the cruciform life where we're being formed into the image of Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And what that means is that if I'm living the crucified life, it doesn't just mean when I was 8 years old, I prayed this prayer, I came to Christ, I died to sin, and I live in this newness of life. Yeah, it means that, but it means so much more. Paul said, I die daily, right? You know, there's things that you have to die to today to really find the life that you want or that God wants. And that's hard to die. I mean, it's hard to die to dreams or visions. It's hard to die to the things of the flesh. It's hard to die to disappointments. It's hard to die to that thing that happened to me when that person said something to me and it was so harsh. And I'm just struggling to let it go, to forgive. I have to die to self. I have to die. That's what the gospel is about. It's about a death, but it's also about a burial. And guess what? It's also about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. You know, there's some of you in this room. When you heard the message of Christ, you took some time before you responded. It wasn't just this immediate thought, oh, I've got to have it. Now, there's nothing wrong with immediate thought. People get saved that way. But there are others who want to examine it, who want to count the cost, because there's a cost to carrying your cross. There's a cost to that. And I find in my ministry or in our ministry together, from all the years of pastoring and youth pastoring, it's those of you who consider the cost who seem to walk in this faithfulness no matter what's happening in your life. What man, when he wants to build a tower, doesn't consider how much it's going to cost him or a building? What general doesn't go out and consider what this is going to cost to move into this battle without counting the cost? Jesus said it. He said, listen, it's a foolish thing not to count the cost, because it'll cost you. See, good news, the good news is good news to my soul, but it's bad news to my flesh. It is. Which is really good news in my entire life. The gospel, Christ crucified, Jesus 2,000 years ago died on a cross for your sin, was buried and raised to walk in newness of life. 2,000 years later, the gospel enters our lives, and Paul says it this way, you've died and you've buried and you rose again with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Now, you know what? I'm going to say this. This gospel, he says, is foolish to the religious. Die? Christ crucified? Messiah crucified? And he says to the religious, well, you know, that's just foolish. I don't understand that. And, you know, I look at life and I look at what God calls us to, and I see that this gospel through the Holy Spirit will mark your life with this faith in Christ and with this hope of the gospel and this love for the saints. Now, I want to talk just a moment about this first marker, faith in Christ. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, and notice what he says. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love with which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you. You know, when I look at Scripture, I understand that Scripture is full of God's promises. Is that right? It's full of God's promises. And God promises certain things to us. Yeah, he's promised salvation. He's promised deliverance. He's promised peace. He's promised life. He's promised joy. And a marker of faithfulness is trusting and relying on what the Word of God says and living that out. And the question that I ask, what are you believing about this Jesus? This church had a faith in Christ. They relied on him. They relied on him for salvation, and they relied on him in this life. because this life will bring persecution, it will bring uncertainty, and it will bring struggle. And what that faithfulness means is I move through it, I press through it, and I rely on this great God of mine. Now, I want to say this because it's important. When man fell, God said, listen, I'm going to make this all right. I'm going to send Jesus the seed, and he's going to come crush the head of the enemy. I'm going to come take away this sin. I'm going to come and destroy his works. In Titus chapter 3, he says the grace of God's going to bring salvation. In Romans 8, he says he's going to work all things out for the good to those who love God, and he's going to do this work in our lives. And it sometimes to me seems so impossible, but that's what faith is, isn't it? Isn't it in the impossible? From my perspective, you know, there's a great story, and it's in Mark chapter 9. Jesus has three disciples with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the Bible says in verse 14 of Mark 9, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately, verse 15, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with the spirit, which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground and he foams at the mouth and he grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. And he answered them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming in his mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, you're asking me if I can? All things are possible to him who believes or to him who's believing. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. I'm a believer, but help me in my unbelief. I am a believer, but help me in my unbelief. Faith in Christ, to be faithful, doesn't mean that when you have these hard days and you quit believing. No, you're always believing, but there's those certain days and those certain circumstances that I'm just really struggling in my faith. And I think this is a very honest guy here. I mean, because I think about God and what he desires to do in people's lives, and people come to you and to me, and they want help. They bring their children to me. They bring their children to you. They bring their marriages to you. They bring their marriages to the church that are struggling, that are hard. They bring hard things to us, and there's this expectation, and rightly so, that the church has something for them that will meet the need and just make life better. I mean, most of us in this place, I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we go to church. That's why we have a community of faith. It's because we somehow believe that there's something here that's so much better than what the world offers. And that's what this man's doing. But there are going to be people who come to us looking for help. And he brings this son to his disciples, and he says to those disciples, will you please cast this demon out of this boy? This is hard. And the Bible says that the disciples couldn't do it. They couldn't cast this demon out. And so Jesus shows up and he says, hey, what's going on? And this man says, well, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything for him. That's what the world says. Help me. I'm bringing my family to you. I'm bringing my son to you. I need this help. And that's what this man's looking for. He's come to these disciples, and for some reason, it's just not working this time. But Jesus comes, and he addresses the crowd, and he addresses this man, and he's going to address the disciples with this. Listen, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. I look at this situation that this man has, and I just hurt for him because I think it's such an impossible situation. But I hear the promise of God that says, to the one who's believing, all things are possible. To the one who's believing, all things are possible. To the church at Colossae, I've heard of your faith in Christ. You are believers in Him, believing in the absolute total promises of God. Because when I'm believing the promises of God, I just want to tell you, miracles do happen. But yet there's those days that I have to cry out and say, oh God, yeah, I'm a believer, but I'm having a hard time right now, so help me in my unbelief. I want to push through it, and I want to believe you, and I want to believe you for everything that you say you are and everything that you said you would do. And then in the midst of it all, I will continue to trust you, even when I don't get the immediate healing, the immediate fix, the immediate life change. I'll trust. And as I push through life, and as I push through the trial, and as I push through the struggle, I want to believe this word, that Jesus can do it, that all things are possible to him who believes, and I want to be able to say with honesty in those hard, hard days, help me in my unbelief. Now notice the story in verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, it came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. You know, I want to ask the question this morning. What are you believing? What are you believing today? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, and I know life gets hard, and I know it's difficult, and it's uncertain, and we get into these financial difficult times and career times, and I just ask the question, what are you believing today about our God? And when people come to you, the people that you fellowship with, or the people that's in your work, and the people that you rub elbows with, and you shake hands with, and those people that you speak to, maybe in a break room, or maybe in a classroom, or wherever, what do you believe in? And what are you asking people to believe? Because as a pastor and as a person of the church, I'm asking people to consider Christ and believe him for everything. To not be believing, but to trust. And to be honest, yeah, I'm struggling with my faith today, but I do believe. So help me in my unbelief. Now, I love what this man does. He's coming to Jesus. Can't find him, but he sees his people who have had some pretty good success with casting out demons and healing sick, proclaiming the gospel. So I like that response. And so the first thing I want to ask you, what are you believing and what are you bringing to him? What are you laying down? This past Friday, my son and I met this man and his son-in-law. And as we began to talk, I found out that the son-in-law had lost two children, the age of 6 and 4 and a half, two little girls, different times, to a brain disease. They also had a mutual friend that had died at a very young age, a young woman that meant a whole lot to them. And in the process of talking about this young woman's death, and one of the last things she said to the couple that had lost the two girls, when you get to heaven, look for me because I'm going to be holding your babies. And as I talked with that young man, I was so inspired. Do you know why? Because he's still being faithful. He's got questions, yes, but he's still being faithful. He's pushing through, believing. Yeah, help me in my unbelief. But I'm believing. And I couldn't help but the next morning sitting down in my chair and I'm praying, I'm thinking, and I emailed this guy and I tell him, last night was such an inspiration. It is so great to see people who have lost laying their loss at the feet of Jesus. Laying it at the cross, Christ, and pushing through. Pushing through. Let me ask you the question. What are you believing today? And what I want to say to you, church, that I say to me is that no matter how hard it is, no matter what the difficulty is, let's be found believing, in the impossible promises of God, to push through the uncertainty and the difficulty, and to keep on believing, to keep on trusting, to keep on moving forward in Christ Jesus. To the church at Colossae, we have heard about your faith in Christ. Church, what are you going to believe? What are we going to believe, and what are we going to proclaim to others that we believe in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? Father God, I thank you for the faith of the saints. To believe. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would move in a mighty way in our lives, in our daily, mundane lives. Not boring, just the mundane things that we go through. That, God, that you would appear and that you would come and move. And into those days of hardship and heartache, that we would continue to believe. And yeah, we might wake up one day with this situation just like this man did. And all of a sudden, we're bringing him to you. We're bringing the situation to you. And we're laying it down at your feet. And we're saying, God, I'm believing you, but I'm really having a hard time with unbelief. So help me in my unbelief. Help me, Lord, to truly, truly believe in you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to look at me for a moment. What is it that you're just struggling with today? Identify it right now. Okay. And would you just kind of, by an act of your will right now, just in the moment, in your heart, to say, God, I'm laying this right now at your feet. I'm coming to you. And you know, Lord, if you can, will you have mercy on me? And then maybe you'll hear God say, well, if you can, of course I can. All things are possible to those who believe. Oh, God, I want to hear that word because I do believe. But help me. Help me in my unbelief. That's the invitation today. To be men and women of faith who are honest enough to say, I'm struggling in my faith, but I'm believing you. I lay this at your feet. I lay this at your feet. What do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus today? What is it that you need to lay at his feet? I'm inviting you this morning to come lay it at his feet. You do that right there where you are, but sometimes there just needs to be movement. And I'll invite you to come and make this place an altar, just to lay it down. It's almost like just in a real visual sense where I've got this thing in my hand and I just come on and I'm just going to slap this down and say, God, it's yours. I give it to you, and I give it to you this moment. I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Would you come to the presence of Christ and lay that thing down? I'm bringing this to you. I'm bringing this to you. I'm bringing this son to you. I'm bringing this husband to you. I'm bringing this wife to you. I'm bringing this situation. I'm bringing this job uncertainty. I'm bringing this pain to you that I'm struggling with week after week. I'm bringing it to you, and I'm laying it down at your feet. It's yours, God. It's yours. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd help us in our unbelief, that we'd be identified that the marker of our life of faithfulness is that we would believe in the midst of any kind of trial and any kind of struggle. And I ask, God, that you'd come and do this work in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, some of us are in a season of just hardship, and there's that weeping, that kind of mourning, and I just want to ask that today be a day that it be turned into joy because of simply laying it down at your feet, bringing the Son to Jesus. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come to this altar as you feel led and lay it down.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on